All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, July 11th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a big 15-game MLB main slate later this evening. NBA Summer League is underway. We will not have projections for Summer League, but slates are up in the app for anybody who has their own projections. We will have projections for WNBA 2-game main slate tonight. I know we still have golf going on as well, so it should be a fun day of DFS. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. It is Friday here, so we will be having a quick turnaround with the show tomorrow. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. I'm going to get the MLB slate pulled up for tonight, and we will just jump into questions here. Had a couple questions come in the Discord prior to the show, so we will start there and just see where we go. All right, first question. Good morning. Just wondering, with the groups, when you make adjustments to max or min limits, does it change it per group or amongst your total lineups? Also wondering, in your opinion, when is it a good idea to create your groups? Would it be grouping by contest size? Okay, good questions. All right, so what I recommend is having a default template that changes, that creates groups when you upload your entry file. So notice right now, right, this icon is green over here. It's actually a new icon. This is a faster way of uploading your entry file. So you can just click this. You don't have to go into the contest tab to upload your file. You can just do it from, you know, any page here, right? So when you upload your file, we're going to know what contest you're playing, right? What I would do prior to that is have a template built, and then when you start it, the template is going to be active for all future slates that you play. Okay. Now, the way I recommend writing the template is have a group it by contest. It's going to say create a lineup group for each of my contests, and then set a diversity to portfolio. And then here, this is just like a ROI greater than zero filter. So what will happen, right, is like, say you have this template and then you upload your file, okay? You're going to get, you know, say you're playing two contests. You're going to get two groups, all right? And then the groups are going to be named whatever the contest name is, okay? That's like one of the things here. When we go back in, it says name groups based on contest name. And this is like checked by default. So you'll get your groups with your contest names, and then it'll already be set up to use portfolio mode. And then because the contest will already be assigned because they will be uploaded. Okay. Now, if you do this, if you go and you create the template like right now, but let's say you already uploaded entries earlier, all you need to do is just re-upload your entries. Okay. So re-uploading a file basically causes the templates to like double check, like, hey, do we have a template for every contest here? Yes or no. And then if it doesn't, it will create them. So that's how you get that to go. The reason we recommend doing it this way is because having a contest group for each, like having a group for each contest you are playing, is basically the equivalent of what autofill was. Now, what's better about this is that when you would use autofill, right, in the old SaberSim, and then you would apply uniques to each contest, you know, we would always get questions like, hey, are the uniques happening within a contest or between the contests, right? Is it taking into account all the other contests too? The answer was no. In autofill, the uniques were contest by contest. So like if I'm playing 220 maxes, I might have 5 min uniques if I set it between the 20 lineups in the contest, but I wouldn't have 20 uniques, or I'm sorry, I wouldn't have 5 uniques guaranteed between the second contest, right? Portfolio is solving that problem. It's not using uniques, but it's as it's solving, it's taking into account the lineups that are put into the contest or contests above it. So now you're getting this fill method effectively where it knows what lineups are in the higher contests. It knows how much money those lineups are worth. It knows how much there's a column here. Maybe because we haven't run lineups, let's just run some. But there's a dollar per exposure column, right? It basically understands how much money is assigned to each player, to each team, and all of that matters now with the portfolio solver. So that part is like really, really cool how it's taking into account like, okay, hey, you know, I might have, you know, 10% exposure to this one team, but they're in my highest dollar single entry. You know, that actually accounts for a lot of my entry fees on this slate, right? So maybe it's okay to have less of them because the dollar amounts kind of work out that way, right? So having the group for each contest is the best option, in my opinion. And I would just roll with that template that was shown. You can just pause it and recreate it if you don't have it or deleted it for whatever reason, right? So that's the big thing there. Now, there was another part of this question. Okay, the other part was, when you set min-max exposures, does it change it per group or amongst total lineups? Okay, so min-max exposures work amongst total lineups, okay? So there is a way to see exposures for each group, but you cannot change exposures on a group-by-group level. Exposures still work for all of your lineups together. So there's a couple different ideas here and different ways you can kind of approach this. And by the way, this is like that dollar per exposure column I was talking about. It's blank because I don't have any contests uploaded, but is still a cool column to look at and reference now. And then I think there's a player one too. I'm trying to see it. Yeah, it's over here, but this dollar per exposure. So this is like player level, and then there's a team one too. I don't know why these got locked. Okay. All right. We're going to keep rolling here. So going back to the minimax exposure thing. Okay. So exposure adjustments work across all of your lineups. Okay. I'm going to turn on avoid duplicates across lineups here. Just to make sure we're getting 2 lineups in this example, or actually we'll crank up the number of lineups. So let's say I'm doing, you know, a 20 max. I didn't mean to pin that. Okay, 20. And then we'll do a second 20 max, right? We're doing 2 20 maxes. That way we just get some more lineups to look at here. All right, cool. So when I change this, it is changing it for all of the lineups, right? So it's basically looking at your 40 lineups, which is why it's like 50% is like 20 here. So it's doing it across all of them. Now, if I wanted to see the exposures of a particular group, I just click on the name of the group, and then you get this green outline, and then it is showing you your exposures for this one group, okay? Now, you can't change the exposures, or if you did change them, it would still work across all of your lineups, not one. But what you can do, right, let's say like I'm looking at this and, you know, I'm happy with it, but I want to go and make more changes, but I don't really want any of these lineups to change. Well, what you can do is you can lock the group, and any changes you make from this point on will not affect this group. These lineups are effectively locked in place, and the only way to change them now is to unlock them. But that is one way you could do this here. I think people will probably do this like probably more like single entries, right? Like, okay, hey, I want to make some minimax exposure adjustments for like my 20s and my 150s, but I like my single entry lineup. Okay, well, you just lock that. It will not be changed, and all the other changes will take effect outside of that group. And then you click on the name again, and then now like you're back to looking at all of your lineups together and not just the one group. So that's the big thing here. Locking could be very useful. Okay, I think we knocked those out. Next question. If I want to use different ownership projections for different contests, is the only way to do that to create multiple builds? Okay, so this one came in from an Ultimate user. So I'll talk about this a couple different ways. First way I'll talk about is with regard to the contest sims. Okay, so if you want to use different ownership buckets, that's totally fine. Even if they're custom, right? Even if you're uploading a number of different custom ownerships, right? So the big thing here, right? Like, let's say I enabled, you know, these three sims, and I don't need that. 1, 2, 3, right? I just do three of them here. You can have different field lineups for them, right? Just when I enable them, they just go to default, but you could see their actual, like, hey, the 333 is using high stakes, the $8 using flagship, and then the, you know, $1.150 is using low stakes MME, right? So automatically the contest sims are using different buckets of ownership. Okay. Now you can change these to other things. Like if you upload custom ownership, well, you're going to have three options. You're actually not going to have three options by default. So if you upload custom ownership, what I would do here is I would go to the My Own column after you've uploaded your ownership projections. And we'll let this load. And good note here, Felipe said if you re-upload your entry file or rebuild, it will change the lock group since your lineup pool is now invalid. So that's correct. So if you rebuild the lineups, all of your lineups are going to go away. So the pool won't effectively be locked anymore. You would have to, in order to maintain these, you would want to like open up a second build. Or if you re-upload your entry file, that will also render this invalid, which I actually didn't know. So that's a good note there. But the rebuild definitely makes the most sense. And then the re-upload is good to know. Appreciate that. Okay. So getting back to the question, talking about ownership projections, right? If you want to use custom ownership projections with Sims, you upload them in the My Own column. You go click the gear icon, and I'll remove the question so we can see this. And then I would go down to this generate field from ownership button. Okay. What this will do is open up like a new build section next to your builds, and it'll say field lineups. And then it'll generate your fields based on your custom ownerships. And then you can go to the contest tab and change them. So then from there, right, I go back to the contest tab. And then I go back to the field lineups column. And then in here, it'll say SaberSim ownership sources, builds, and then under it, it'll say field lineups. And then you can just select the one that you uploaded. So this is the best way to use custom ownership with Sims. Now, if you are just trying to use custom ownership, maybe to analyze your leverages or for like some ownership things that you're doing, right? So you're only going to be able to use one ownership at a time when you do that, right? So we'll go back to this build again. Okay, so notice, right, we have one ownership that's primarily being used. And this is the ownership that is generated, that is being used in the formula to get the leverage, right? So we're just taking exposure minus ownership, and then we're getting leverage. If you want to analyze If you want to analyze different contests with different ownership projections, then it is better to do different builds. You could swap back and forth between different ones if you wanted to, and, you know, effectively like lock groups as you go. But I think it is easier to do different builds if you want to be that granular. So it's going to depend, you know, kind of on the contest you're playing, right? Like I could see, you know, the need for that if you're playing like a high stakes MME, and then, but then you're also playing like some low stakes stuff where ownership projections are going to vary dramatically, right? I could see that being useful. But it's going to depend, one, like how much time you have, two, how useful you think it is. I think it's okay not to, but if that is like something that you really care about, totally okay. All right. Good stuff there. Looks like a follow-up question from yesterday. Same example as yesterday, but with 20 and 150 max groupings. Let's say I'm having duplicate checked on. What will it do if all the 20 and 150 maxes are all the same? Okay, so let's unlock this group, and let's say we have two groups, right? We have a 20 max group, and then we have a 150 max group, right? And I'll change this. Okay, so what's going to happen here, and there's one other setting that we need to talk about. We need to go to settings. We need to talk about this avoid duplicates across lineup groups, okay? So when this is on, it will make sure that all of your lineups, that every entry gets a unique lineup effectively here, right? So this is on. So it's making sure that no lineup is used more than once. When it is off, it is allowing lineups to be used more than once. So this is also going to depend what ranking metric you're using, right? Like, let's say I'm not using portfolio. Let's say I'm using uniques. And let's say I'm also using projected score, for instance, right? For both. So what's going to happen here is the top group is going to get the top 20 projected lineups. And then the second group is going to get the top 150 projected lineups. So effectively, lineups 1 through 20 will be used twice. Now, with this, that is with it off. The lineups will be used twice. With it on, what happens is group 1 gets the 1 through 20th highest projected lineups. And then group 2 gets 21 through 170th highest projected lineups. So it's stopping it from being used again. So like the big thing here is the toggle. And then the other thing is that is what you're ranking by. Because if you have two contests that are using two different sort of metrics, even if it's ROI, right? They could both be using ROI, but the contests are different, right? Different size contests, different payout structures, different stakes, so different ownership buckets. Those effectively become different sorting metrics. Like, in my opinion, every contest's ROI is a unique sorting metric, because one contest's ROI values are never going to one for one match another contest, right? So you're less likely to get duplicates, but you still might get a few, right? Me personally, I leave the avoid duplicate toggle off, because I like when a lineup grades out well in more than one contest, ROI wise, to let it into my group, because it means it performed well in both payout structures and both sized entry contests, right? And most of the contests are different. So for me, that's totally okay. And I've done like experiments where maybe I have 40 entries and then I fill, and maybe I end up with 35 unique lineups where five of them overlapped or something like that, right? For me, that's okay. I'm like cool with it. So that's the differences that you want to be aware of here is, you know, what sorting metric are you primarily using, right? And, you know, I would run tests and just see like what the overlap is. Maybe you're using portfolio, right? And, you can go and it's pretty easy to see like on the sites, like how many unique lineups you have. Or I think even after you fill, you can jump over to the contest tab and then see, you know, how many unique lineups you have there. But I believe if you're using portfolio on starter plan, I saw this as a starter question, I think it's going to be one sorting metric. So what I would do is I would leave avoid duplicates across lineup groups on, and then it would do the version of like, it puts the top 20 in this one and then 21 through 170 in the second listed contest. You could test it. You know, you could see like, okay, well, what if I turn this off? Do I get effectively 150 unique lineups? And then that'll tell you the effect that it's having. Okay, good stuff there. All right, next question. If I started building lineups and new signing lineups are released, should I rebuild the lineups or is the refresh good? Okay, good question. So for me, it's going to depend on if the lineup changed. You know, it's a little bit hard, right? Because you want to make sure that you built lineups with all of the players that are going to be in the starting lineup, right? So what I typically do is I'll do something like this. So let's say that lineups come out, or actually let's say I'm like working on my build, right? And then all of a sudden the refresh projection icon turns green. Okay, that tells me that, you know, a sim ran somewhere, right? Before clicking refresh, I will jump over to Discord and I will go to the MLB lineup alert channel, and then I will go and see which lineup just came out. So it's like, oh, okay, it said away lineup confirmed. So that means the Rays just came out, right? And I'll read the question. So I'm like looking at these messages, right? It says away lineup confirmed. And I look at the timestamp. It's like the most recent one. So I've already refreshed here, but imagine, you know, we're in that scenario, right? Okay. So then what I want to do is I want to go to the team before refreshing, and I go to the batters and I sort by order just so I could see this really easily. What I do is I just take like a quick screen grab. So I do something like this. So, okay, I just grabbed a screenshot. Okay, so now that I know what the previous lineup was, and I have it here, then I will refresh the projections. And then I will see, okay, does this lineup match? Are players in or out? Typically, if all the players are the same, even if some of them move, right? Like, okay, maybe Josh Lowe is batting sixth instead of fifth. Maybe, maybe Simpson's batting ninth and Jansen's batting seventh or like something like that. If the players move around, I typically won't do anything. But if there are players who are out, like let's say that, you know, Caballero and Walls like aren't playing, and I think other players in the lineup would be like Morel and I don't know, Hyesung Kim, like maybe they're playing instead, right? Well, that matters a little bit more. If you've already built lineups, so this is kind of subjective. I would say part of it is going to depend. Were you getting exposure to those teams already, right? Like if you've already built lineups, you know, and then part of this might matter about how many lineups you're playing, right? If you're playing 20, 150 lineups and the lineup changes, you probably do want to do a full rebuild. But if you're playing like 3 lineups, 5 lineups, 10 lineups, and this happens, what I would probably do is like see if I was getting that team in the first place. Because, you know, when you only have 3, 5, 10, maybe even 10 lineups, you know, there's only so many spots you can get to. You know, if the White Sox lineup changes and, you know, maybe Benintendi's not playing, maybe like Robert's not playing or Vargas, I don't know, whoever you want. Well, if you weren't getting to any of them anyways, it doesn't really matter that the lineup changed, right? So like in that case, I'd be fine just like refreshing and just kind of rolling with what I got. But if there's like a team that you're getting exposure to and all of a sudden the lineup changes, you know, 1 player, 2 player, 3 players, you probably want to do a full rebuild in that case. So that's my opinion there. It is a little like nuanced and kind of tricky. I think that checking the starting lineups is like a good thing to do in that instance. Because like, what if you were getting like a lot of, you know, Boston, right? And maybe, you know, Romy Gonzalez isn't playing, right? And some other guy is. And, you know, what you could do, right? What you could do is you could just rerun the sim. Like you could refresh the projections, rerun the sim. Since he's out now, he won't be in the contest sim. So you'll get 0% exposure to that player, even though he has pool exposure. It'll just basically ignore those lineups. But that's not like great now, right? Because maybe, you know, you have exposure to all the batters in the lineup, except for the one that replaced him, and then maybe that one does good, right? This happened to me, gosh, a couple of weeks ago, where it was really unfortunate. Cincinnati, they scratched Spencer Steer late, or Tyler Stevenson. I can't remember which one. I think it was Spencer Steer. He got scratched like less than 10 minutes before the game started. And Boston was like the first game on the slate. And Encarnacion Strand ended up being his replacement and batting in the 8 hole. And I had a lot of Cincinnati exposure, and I didn't have time to do a rebuild. So what I had to do was refresh the projections, rerun the contest sim, and then just take whatever I got. Well, what ended up happening is like my Cincinnati stack exposure went from like 34% to 16%. So it just like went down across the board. Cause I lost him, and then I didn't gain the other hitters. So like I kind of lost like 2 pieces there, but then Strand ended up hitting a home run and I had 0% exposure to him. And I had exposure to all these other Cincinnati bats. And like, he was like a key one that you like would have wanted in your stacks. Right. So, rebuilding in like some scenarios like that is definitely the best move.
you know, depending on time constraints, you might have to cut corners. But, you know, I obviously want to tell you guys what I think is like the best decision in that instance. Okay. Good stuff so far. Next question. I'm doing 15 lineups and it's over $100 on the MLB 200K rally cap to first. Do I put high stakes MME $8 entry? Does it give better lineups on high stakes? Okay. So what I would do, right, is I would not change it to high stakes. So basically what happens at high stakes is that because there are less entries in high stakes contests, right? We go and we look at like high stakes. So like we'll go to the contest tab here. Okay, so we'll just like turn these off too. So the high stakes MME, right? This is a $333 entry, but it only has 1,111 entrants, right, in this contest. The flagship MME is the $8, which is the one you're playing. This one has 29,411 entries, right? So this is like, I don't know, 28, 27 times as big of a contest. What happens in these larger contests is that ownership kind of flattens out. It is not as concentrated in these larger field contests. In the smaller field stuff, ownership is a lot more concentrated. And it's because you don't need to beat so many players is effectively what's happening here. When you need to beat less players, you can play some of the like chalkier pieces or like higher value pieces a little bit like safer and still get to like good winning lineups, right? When you're trying to beat 29,000 other entries, you know, you might want to take like a little bit different approach. So the way that we come up with these ownership projections is by back testing contests of those sizes, right? So like our high stakes MME ownership is specifically back tested on similarly sized high stakes lineups or high stakes contests in the past. And like we could look here and just see some differences. So like high stakes MME burns is like about 40%. Okay. Well, what if we go to flagship MME? Okay, Burns is 27%, right? So he came down significantly, about over like 10% difference here, right? He is the highest value pitcher on the slate. So what's happening is that at the flagship, people are getting more exposure to like more different spots on average, right? Based on our back testing. And then at the high stakes, the lineups are a little bit more concentrated on some of like these higher value plays. So it doesn't really have anything to do with like, oh, higher stakes is like better. It's more like what set more accurately represents what the contests in your, what the lineups in your contests are going to look like. And so for that reason, if you're playing like the $8, 150 max, I would stick with the flagship MME option. I think that one's going to be best. Okay, next question. How can I get the leverage column to appear from my whole pool of 5,000 lineups instead of having to look at pool versus projected ownership? Okay, so what I would do is say you have like one group, right? I would change the lineups here to equal your pool. So like for me, my pool is 527. So then I change lineups to 527. Now the exposure calculation is occurring based on this 527 lineups being in my denominator. And then the actual exposures for like the lineups or the numerator or the number of lineups a player is in, and then that's how you get your exposure to be for your whole pool. Therefore, when you do exposure minus ownership, your leverage is now against your entire pool. So the big thing would be changing lineups to equal your pool. That way, that number is used in the leverage calculation. All right. Next question. What's your take on adding rules with this new building process? Does it play a huge role in the lineup building? Okay. Hold on one sec. Sorry about that. I had to sneeze. So with regard to like rules and stuff like that, what I will say is that if you have particular preferences about what you want your lineups to look like, it is much better, and I think that this is by far your best option, to put those things in up front before lineup creation, because the portfolio solver takes the lineups that it's given and figures out what combination of them are best. It's a little bit harder to get things that you want after the build with portfolio, because it's like very, very specific. So for that reason, I think it is better. Like if you know you always want to play a five stack, you know, then I would just put in a five stack rule. That's a very, very simple example, right? You know, it could be a number of things, right? It could be rules to like manage your one-offs. It could be, you know, filters for certain type of pitchers. You know, maybe you want pitchers with a certain K rate or a certain number of innings pitched or a certain number of pitches or like anything like that, right? But I think it is better to tell SaberSim up front, hey, this is like generally what I want my lineups to look like. Let it build lineups that look like that, and then let portfolio option figure out which of those lineups that were built are the best ones to take with you into your contest. So for that reason, I think adding rules is like totally fine, because if you want your lineups to look a certain way, it is better to just be very straightforward with a rule about that. Okay. Good one there. Next question. Also, what filters and rules do you recommend changing? Changing player pool filters where it says show players with home runs greater than zero. Does that help? So there's a couple things, right? Like, let's talk about like home runs. So some things that people have experimented with in the past, like I'm aware of, is trying to curate the players that you are willing to play by themselves as not part of a stack, right? So like, let's look at like stack types. Okay. So like a 5-2. So there are eight batters in a DraftKings lineup. So this is effectively a 5-2-1. And then there's a 5-3. Then there's a 4-3-1, right? This means like five batters on one team, two batters on another team, and then one player by themselves, right? And then five players on one team, three players on the other team, right? For your batters. So what some people will try and do is, hey, I want to zone in on the players that are allowed to be used in one single lineup. And I want to make sure that these players have a high chance of hitting a home run. And the idea here, right, is like, let's say that, where's a good example? Okay. And that might not be a great example. This one's fine. Okay, Detroit is playing Seattle, right? Skubal is pitching today, and he's obviously very good. Well, let's say that, you know, maybe I don't want to like stack Seattle, but like maybe I'm okay playing, you know, a power hitter like Cal Raleigh, because he hits a lot of home runs, right? Scooble can pitch a great game, but Raleigh can hit one home run and, you know, get his 14 points, and he could be a good play, right? So, like, there are some players with that, like, home run ability that can be really good plays by themselves. Now, there are players who are less likely to hit home runs that they probably excel more in kind of like a team environment, right? Like, maybe somebody that comes to mind for me. Oh, I'm looking at these teams and I can't think of anybody. But there's one. Okay, Cleveland, right? You know, maybe somebody like Steven Kwan, who doesn't hit for as much power, but he's probably a little bit better stacked in like a Guardians lineup, right? Where like he gets on base, you know, somebody, he steals a bag, somebody drives him in, that's additional at bats for the rest of the team. And then, you know, he thrives a little bit more when he's getting on base and somebody's hitting him in, right? The guy swinging gets a base hit and an RBI. He scores a run and, you know, they kind of keep the merry-go-round going, right? So people will like try and write rules to kind of help with like those scenarios. So like what something like that would look like, talking about home runs, right, is coming in here, sorting by home runs. Okay, so we go over and we'll go to batters, sort by home runs. Okay, so you basically kind of come through here and then you find a spot where you're like, hey, you know, I am okay playing all of the players above this number by themselves in a lineup, right? I'm looking at like Suzuki, Raleigh, Suarez, Adele, you know, Otani, Lindor, Riley Green, Christian Walker. And, you know, maybe I draw the line. Acuna seems fine. Maybe somewhere like after Gunnar Henderson, right? Gunnar Henderson's at 0.18. Okay, Grichik's at 1.8. So maybe, I don't know. I'd probably go like a little bit further, but we don't have to be too specific here about like where I would like draw the cutoff. But let's say we're going to draw the cutoff at 0.15 home runs. Okay. Just for example. So then what I could do is write a rule that says group auto, if at least one player or if at least one group by team, and I select all the position players here, right? Catcher, first base, second base, third base, etc. I add a requirement for home runs less than, and I'll say 0.16, then use at least, and we'll say two in this example, use at least two position players on the same team. So what I'm saying is that if there is a person below this threshold, then I must use two players from the same team, making it a three stack. You could do two stacks if you wanted to, right? Like I could say that at least one, it's up to you. But like, this is an example of writing a rule to make sure that you have quote unquote, like power hitters as your like one-off plays in your lineups, right? So like when we're talking about home runs, this is a good way of kind of prioritizing home runs in your stack exposures, in like your one-off selections. So this is like a good rule you could use in such a scenario. All right. Next question. Hi, Andrew. Does using a ROI greater than zero filter still viable with portfolio diversifier? Thanks. I think it is. I use one personally. It's part of my template. You know, my template looks like this. I think it's just, you know, it's nice to have that safety net. It's nice to like not worry about it. So mine says, you know, lineup group type contest, create a lineup group for each contest, use portfolio, and then have an ROI greater than zero filter, which is what this is, right? I just like having that, you know, floor. Like, hey, I'm never going to play negative ROI lineups within any group. And it just gives me some peace of mind. So I like to use that. All right. Next question. On a small slate, 2, 3, 4 games, is it better to use a 5,000 lineup pool or use a lower lineup pool? Okay. Good question. So always build as many lineups as you possibly can. The reason for that is that your lineups get generated using the game sims. Then the lineups go into the pool. And then the lineups get ranked, whether that's Saber score, whether that's portfolio, whether that's portfolio plus, contest sims, ROI, etc. The lineups do not get graded until they go into the pool. So you want to build as many lineups as you can to have as many chances of getting these good lineups after. So in theory, the way we build lineups, your best lineup could be built last and your worst lineup could be built first. There is no order of how the lineups are built and the strength of the lineups. So you always want to build as many lineups as you possibly can. But good clarification question. All right. I think we're all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back early tomorrow morning, depending on where you live, or afternoon for Saturday office hours, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Good luck today. And until we chat, take care. Thanks. Bye.